Welcome. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. The Hoosier Ag Today gang is all here, ready to run down the top news and information from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Andy Eubank has grain market analysis coming up. Ryan Martin shares his Indiana farm forecast here in about 10 minutes or so. And CJ Miller, Sabrina Halverson, and I will bring you the news, including the announcement of this year's Master Farmers in Indiana, how our corn is recovering from recent storms. Is China spying on us through the drones we're using to spray crops? And how one startup company is partnering with Purdue to help identify tar spot early by turning your corn purple. It's an interesting concept, and that story is coming up later on in the show. First, we're going to touch on trade. We're a step closer to knowing if the ban on U.S. corn to Mexico is going to stick. In a surprising move that runs completely counter to science, Mexico placed a ban on biotech corn from the U.S., and if you didn't know, Mexico is our number one trading partner for corn. The U.S. then moved forward with a dispute settlement panel under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement.
The panel just completed a public hearing at the end of June, and then they will work on a final report that will come out in November.
That's Nancy Martinez, fellow Hoosier and Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology for the National Corn Growers Association. She joined us on the most recent Indiana Ag Policy podcast, presented by the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance, found now at HoosierAgToday.com. Martinez says the lawyers that argued the case for the U.S. made a great case that the science is on our side and that Mexico did not conduct a full risk assessment before making the decision to ban our biotech corn.
One thing that Mexico argues over and over again is that their population consumes more corn than anywhere else in the world. So therefore, they are at an increased exposure. But the U.S. lawyers made the case that if they did conduct a risk assessment, that would have been part of the risk assessment. Exposure is part of any risk assessment by international standards. So I thought the U.S. did a great job to combat some of the Mexican arguments, and we'll have to see in November.
If for some reason this dispute panel doesn't go our way, the loss of our number one market in Mexico would be huge. But Martinez says the losses don't end there.
First, it's a huge loss for science and biotech. So if for some reason the panel decision does not come out in our favor, it would significantly undermine the 1,700 studies that have been done by, you know, very good organizations about the science here. So we have that. You know, other countries could also follow in Mexico's steps. You know, they could take measures like Mexico just for the sole fact of trying to knock U.S. imports out of their markets in an effort to prop up their own domestic industries. So we definitely don't want that to occur either.
Martinez adds that innovation would also take a hit. Companies in the biotech corn space would limit investment in that space if the market dwindles. You can hear more from Martinez in the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find it at HoosierAgToday.com. Two different storm systems swept through Indiana in recent weeks. It left some fields ponded, and it had farmers a bit concerned about their corn.
Had some pictures sent to me. Actually, I saw some of my neighbor's corn here in West Lafayette the day after that, and that was leaning pretty good.
That's Purdue Extension's Dan Corn Quinn on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today. Quinn says the first of the storms was the worst of the two.
The good thing is a lot of that crop really recovered in 2 to 3 days. You know, corn is pretty resilient to root lodging. And what I mean by root lodging is that we're not snapping that stalk. We're not having green snap or any issues like that. It's just more when that soil gets really, really moist, like 3-4 inches of rain, and then you have wind on top of it, right? That crop is just lodging basically at the roots, right? So the roots are coming out of the soil a little bit.
All in all, Quinn says the corn crop recovered really well.
You can notice some goosenecking out there, but you know, a lot of that crop, as long as it recovers in time for pollination, we should be okay. Shouldn't expect a whole lot of yield loss. But a lot of the crop that was in pollination at that time is standing. Looks really good. There's a little concern, you know, some of the sweet corn growers, some of the popcorn growers, that maybe had a little more instances of lodging. But for the most part, you know, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than what it actually was.
Reports from northern Indiana are that the moisture that came with those storms gave them just what they needed. Quinn expects excellent pollination and kernel numbers across the state, something we've grown accustomed to the past few years. You can hear more from Quinn and Purdue's soybean Sean Castile in the Purdue Crop Chat, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are less than a week away from the Great Indiana State Fair. It opens up on Friday, August 2nd. We'd love to say hi. We'll be the ones in the Hoosier Ag Today shirts. We'll probably have a microphone in our hands. Stop by, say hi. We'd love to say hi to you. Some exciting things happening during the Indiana State Fair. We'll have all the coverage throughout the fair. Don't worry. But some exciting news for us here at Hoosier Ag Today. On Tuesday, August 13th, Agri Institute will be hosting the Lieutenant Governor's Debate in this election year. On the Republican side, Micah Beckwith. On the Democrat side, Terry Gooden. Hoosier Ag Today will be a big part of the Lieutenant Governor debate. I'll be participating, asking questions of the Lieutenant Governor candidates. We'll also be live streaming the event here at Hoosier Ag Today. HoosierAgToday.com will be the place. You can also find it on our YouTube channel. Again, be sure to check that out. More details at HoosierAgToday.com. And here in the coming weeks, we'll have more information for you on that. Right now, it's time to check in on the markets. And for that, we welcome in Andy Eubank.
Thank you, Eric. And the markets ended the week on a sour note. Sharp losses in corn, soybeans, and wheat. Those settlements coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis, which I grabbed from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. We spoke near the end of trade. Brian, as we head to the weekend, oh, what a little bit of rain in the forecast can do. There have been some changes in forecast, more moisture now, at least in parts of the Corn Belt. And the grains and oil seeds respond, a pretty sharp sell-off going into the weekend.
Yeah, it is, Andy. Thanks for having me, as always. We're looking at a moist forecast for the week of July 29th, last couple days of July, of course, into that first few days of August, primarily in the eastern Corn Belt. If we look at the maps here, we're looking at areas such as Illinois, Indiana, your backyard there, of course, Ohio, Michigan. All those areas, Andy, are look like they have a decent shot to get anywhere from a half inch to up to an inch and a half between now and Friday the 2nd. So every forecast is variable, of course, and things can change. But for the moment, it looks like it's a moist forecast there. I would add, though, in contrast, out west in Kansas, Nebraska, it's going to be hot and dry for the most part. But again, percentage-wise, nearly half the corn, for example, over the next 2 weeks, according to the latest model, nearly half the corn is going to be normal to above, slightly above normal moisture. And beans, it's up to 62%, Andy. The next 2 weeks are going to be normal to slightly above normal. So forecasts can change, but the market's taking that to heart today anyway.
Yeah, and we've seen the forecast change and the market taking it to heart throughout the course of this week. Little variations here and there have sent the markets higher, and in the case of Friday, lower. So it doesn't seem to take too much.
Yeah, you summarized that well. It doesn't take too much. This time of year, when we're approaching that pod fill stage for beans and the critical end of pollination, I would say we're in the last 25% of pollination, but that first 10 days to 2 weeks right after pollination is critical, Andy, for the corn crop as it begins the grain fill stage. And obviously the weather this week, temperature-wise, has been very mild, which is good. A few areas caught some rain this week, but obviously a lot drier than it had been earlier this month. So, yeah, anything you can and tweak that a little bit. And as we look ahead to that last few days of July, that would still help the corn quite a bit in terms of that post-pollination period, and then it would be ideal for the early pod fill.
Market analysis from Brian Basting. He's an economist with Advanced Trading, and his number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The Friday settlements, September corn, 394.5, dipping 11.5 cents, and December goes to 410, down a dime and three quarters. Leading the way lower, the soybean market, sharp losses there. August, 1077.5, 38.5 down. September 10.42 down 32.5. November 31 cents lower at 10.48.5. And September wheat 5.23.5 down 14.25. The meats were quiet and mixed. October live cattle 188.55, a nickel loss. And October lean hogs 78.20, up 40 cents. You're up to date now on the markets. Much more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
It's like fertilizer for your brain. Every weekday morning, the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter arrives in your inbox with the latest farm news, markets, and weather information. The kind of stuff you're going to need that day. So make sure you're feeding your brain with this free, easy to read, and important input. Sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
After a pleasant start to the weekend, we're going to be really heating things up, and I'd say a typical Indiana summer finally decides to show up here. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. Today, not too shabby at all. You know, we saw humidity values really fall off last Thursday and yesterday. Today, we're a little bit warmer, but we're keeping the humidity values down a little bit. Nobody has a problem with that, but we are going to see that come to an end fairly quickly tomorrow. More heat comes in for your Sunday, and humidity values really skyrocket. I'm expecting some shower and thunderstorm action to develop over a good chunk of the Hoosier State late tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening, and that's going to be round one. We're going to be seeing that pop-up heat-based activity through Monday, through Tuesday, and through Wednesday as well. If you combine the period from tomorrow late afternoon right on through Wednesday night, I think we're looking at anywhere from a quarter to at least 1 inch. And with any stronger thunderstorms, we'll bump those combined totals to maybe 1.5 inches in spots. So the good news is, if you missed rain this past week, there's some rain coming. The bad news is it's incredibly humid. It doesn't feel very nice. And this is the kind of setup that definitely promotes things like tar spots and other moist issues, okay? So we're going to have to gear up for that going forward. Once we get into Thursday and Friday, we stay hot and humid, but we don't have any organized moisture. I think we are rain-free both of those days before we get into another cluster of shower and thunderstorm action trying to pop up over the region for both Saturday and Sunday. Coverage each day of the weekend, probably about 70%, but for sure we are going to see moisture at some point over the 2 days combined. Into the following week, the week of the 5th, here we go. Look back to the south in portions of North Texas, Oklahoma, even into Kansas. An absolutely huge heap dome building there. Big upper level ridges in control. That's going to try and expand eastward as we go through this coming week, next week, the week of the 5th. And so that's where I think we see temperatures really take off. We may get warm enough that we cap the atmosphere for any strong thunderstorm development and just swelter here under heat and some humidity. So we haven't really seen this much this year. Yes, there was a hot stretch, mid to late June. It got hot for a little bit, but otherwise, we've had so much moisture through the month of July, we never really heated things up too much. Well, we're going to make up for it here in August. Why is that important? Well, again, soybeans working through a good growth and development stage, looking pretty good in a lot of areas. But if we turn the heat on right at the time we're trying to get some flowering and pod setting going, that could spell a little bit of disaster. I'm not saying it's a disaster yet. I'm just saying with what I'm seeing temperature-wise, it's not necessarily going to be an ideal start to the month of August. But like we said out of the gate, kind of a typical Indiana summer. That's a look at your forecast. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eiley steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLE Fabrications. And elevate your harvest this season.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Many ag leaders are expressing their frustration with lawmakers over the lack of any further action regarding a new farm bill. Sabrina Halverson reports how one Hoosier ag leader is among those leading the charge.
About 500 agricultural groups recently sent a letter to the leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. One of those groups was the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture.
Well, the impact of further delay was at least a big part of the letter.
NASDA Chief Executive Officer Ted McKinney says the time to pass the farm bill is now.
I think the legislators know, members of Congress know, but many out in the world of even ag don't understand that punting this, kicking this down the road has consequences. I'd say for our farmers and ranchers who are at the core more of this, it leaves great uncertainty. You don't know how to plan with your programs.
He explains that even aspects of USDA come to a halt when funding stops.
Many people don't know that the agencies of the government, in this case USDA, cannot plan. They are disallowed legally from planning any point beyond the point where they have funding. Well, we have funding up through including September, I believe. But after that, they're not allowed to plan. Well, what kind of a business is that when you are disallowed from planning for the future?
He says he remains hopeful that it can get done before the end of the year.
Well, hope springs eternal, and we would not have signed the letter if we didn't believe that might be possible. So we hang on that. We still hang on that thread that says it can get done.
I'm Sabrina Halverson.
All right, Sabrina, thanks. Over 3 million acres of American farmland were sprayed by drones last year, and as more farmers use drones for spraying and scouting, there are concerns that drones made in China pose a major risk to our national security. C.J. Miller has the story.
A country like China, which is in economic competition with us and perhaps even more serious competition in the future, it'd be foolish to think that they wouldn't try to use every advantage that they have to get an edge economically.
And that's Arthur Erickson, CEO of Helio, a drone manufacturer based in Texas. He says the main concern has been over the use of drones that come from a Chinese company called DJI.
Back in 2017, the Department of Homeland Security put out a memo stating that they had strong reason to believe that DJI drones were sending critical information back to the Chinese government that could be used to undermine U.S. national security. So then you start to see in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2019 that the Chinese-made drones were, in fact, banned for purchase and use by the U.S. government. Now, that ban and those concerns have grown even further, and so there are calls to ban Chinese drone use outright, so not just in the public sector, but also the private sector here in the States.
Erickson says there's legislation that's passed in the U.S. House and now pending in the Senate that would effectively ban the use of drones made by DJI.
And what it will do is basically make DJI into a covered entity as defined by the government, which means that they would not be allowed to have FCC authorization to operate on the frequencies and communication channels in our country. So all the drones would basically become paperweights because they need those communications to function, obviously.
Read more about the legislation that's awaiting action in the Senate at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
The Purdue Farm Management Tour and Master Farmer Reception was held last week in Randolph County. Decatur County's Tim Gauck was one of six honorees to receive the Distinguished Master Farmer Award.
It's quite an honor, a humbling honor to be mentioned in the field of people that have been there before, but it's also encouraging by the nomination letter I got and the supporting letters. A lot of them were people that were my children's age that had good things to say, and that makes it all worthwhile for all the things that I've been able to do, 4-H leader and been an RMC director and participated in lots of activities in the county that were advantageous to ag.
The Master Farmer Program is a long-standing tradition in Indiana and honors individuals who have contributed to Indiana agriculture and demonstrated success in their farming operation, stewardship of natural resources, and community service. Gauck had a number of people to thank for the honor.
My family, I'm most blessed to have them, and they've been encouraging for everything I have done. And my nominator and the extension and the 4-H groups in Decatur County have all been good to me. So I just want to thank everybody that has been part of it.
And Hoosier Ag Today would like to congratulate the other Master Farmers honored this year, Troy and Lisa Furr of Wolcott, Ron and Sherry Cash of Greencastle, Keith and Darla Schottmer of Tipton, and Honorary Master Farmer Steve Nichols from Delphi, and Harry Pearson from Hartford City. If you like antique tractors and farm machinery, you want to be in Kosciuszko County next weekend. C.J. Miller's back with more.
Thank you, Eric. It's the Summerfest Tractor Show and Pull presented by Echoes of the Past, coming up August 2nd and 3rd, just south of Warsaw and east of Claypool.
It's free for families to bring the kids in, have a good time. There's something for everyone.
And that's Adam Heckeman, president of the Echoes of the Past organization. He says the goal of Summerfest is to keep Indiana Louisiana's farm history alive.
It's great that we as club members can come out and use this equipment, have a lot of fun with our collection items. But in the same time, we can demonstrate and show the youth of our community what our grandfathers, what our fathers had to go through and how hard agriculture was. And, you know, we want to keep that history alive. We want the next generation to understand our American history and what our country is founded on, farming and agriculture.
Adam says his passion for antique tractors has quite literally been passed down to him.
I got the great opportunity to get my hands on a 1937 John Deere Unstyled A, which was my great-grandfather's. We got a hold of that thing. It didn't operate, but I got the opportunity to spend a year restoring that with my grandfather. And yeah, and that's kind of what got me started in this antique club as well. But it's a passion and a love for basically memories that you had when you were a kid.
The event also features a cornhole tournament, a vintage market, live entertainment, and much more. And the best part, Adam says, the event is free.
We do take donations. That's kind of how we operate. But you can come in, you can pull for free, you can have homemade ice cream, you can look at the displays. There's all kinds of kid events. It's just a lot of fun for the family.
I'm CJ Miller.
You can find more on that story and other farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. More Hoosier Ag this week on the way next.
AgBioScience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
How do you see digital playing a role in this food is health, food is medicine era?
The reality of hunger is that it is invisible, it is pervasive, it is ubiquitous, and is very damaging to households far and wide. To be able to engage and address hunger effectively, we have to continue to be innovative, right? Because, you know, expecting the same interventions that we've used for years to improve these outcomes to a way that's transformative, we're going through the process of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. We have to be innovative in what we're doing, bring in new ideas, bring in creative ideas, and working alongside teams through this Hunger Tech Challenge has been amazing.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. Well, imagine if your plants could turn purple to let you know that they're sick. Well, that's become a reality now thanks to a company based right here in Indiana called Insignum AgTech. A new collaboration may soon help corn farmers identify the early stages of a major yield-robbing disease.
So we're really excited to announce a collaboration with Purdue, and so we want to see how our plants specifically respond to tar spot.
And that's Kyle Moeller, the founder and CEO of Insignum AgTech. He and his team are working with researchers from Purdue to test out the new traits from his company that give early indications of tar spot in corn simply by the plant turning purple.
So we're working with a couple of professors in the College of Agriculture to gather more data on that and study this in a really controlled way. This collaboration with Purdue is partly sponsored by the Indiana Corn Marketing Council. So we're really excited to have their support and the support of all the growers of Indiana.
Moeller says the idea has been with them for a long time.
The idea initially came because I grew up on a farm here in central Indiana, and my family farm started to use fungicides. And I was curious about why in the world would you spray a product if you don't know if you have that problem or not. But then I learned that by the time you see the problem, it's already too late. You have to be preventative in order to be effective at controlling for diseases. So I was like, okay, I understand that that's why you do things, but surely we can do better.
He adds that his background in plant biochemistry led to this breakthrough development.
And so I put a couple of pieces of background knowledge together about how plants react to diseases and about how they make pigments, and said, let's put these two things together to give plants the ability to tell us when they are sick, so that we can get a jump start on exactly when that problem starts. So it's a really simple and easy way to see that that problem is occurring. But even more so, it's easy to pick up across thousands of acres, right? So any color camera can see this color change, so then that information can be fed back to the farmer.
In addition to the new collaboration with Purdue University and their College of Agriculture, Moeller says he already has a Hoosier-based collaboration under underway.
And we've got an exciting collaboration for the second year now with Bex Hybrids, where we get to test some of these genes in real commercial genetics. So we're really excited about that partnership. Moving forward, we're looking to expand our testing across the Midwest and continue to work in additional countries, so when we can bring this to market, then it can go everywhere around the world.
Read more about the partnership between Insignum AgTech and Purdue's College of Agriculture at HoosierAgToday.com. And finally, you've heard of yellow corn and white corn, but what about orange corn? Well, thanks to a father-son duo who started their company right here in Indiana called Nutrimaize, you'll likely be hearing a lot more about it in the years to come.
We want to be the leader in nutritionally enhanced corn and maybe someday other crops as well.
And that's Evan Rochford, who co-founded Nutrimaize with his father, Dr. Torbert Rochford, who's an agronomy professor at Purdue. He says his father came up with the idea for orange corn in order to bring vitamin A and other nutrients to those in other parts of the world, such as Africa.
And a lot of people did not think that they would be able to develop varieties that had high enough vitamin A levels to actually make a difference in Africa. Most people said, you're never going to be able to do it with natural variation. Torbert proved him wrong. He found the variation. Him and his collaborators identified key genes that are present in corn, natural variation, and they were able to use those to breed varieties that have much, much higher levels of vitamin A. So it's been a tremendously successful scientific innovation.
Evan says the goal is also to bring orange corn to the masses through the Professor Torbert brand.
We have grits, cornmeal, corn flour. All of those are available on Amazon or on our website, which is ProfessorTorberts.com. And people describe them as being creamy, as having a rich flavor.
He says that Nutrimaize has also been working to provide their orange corn as poultry feed for egg producers. The corn not only provides more nutrients for both the animal and the egg, but it also gives the egg yolks a darker color and a richer flavor.
We're able to increase the nutritional density of the eggs. We're able to improve the health of the birds. The research proving these benefits through collaborations with Purdue University.
When it comes to the future of Nutrimaize and Professor Torbert's orange corn, Evan says that he and his father are looking for farmers to help expand their production.
If you're a farmer, we're going to have acres that we're going to need to place here in the coming years, and you're interested in being a part of what we're doing, reach out to us. You can go on our company website, which is Nutrimaize.com, submit a contact form, and we'd love to keep you in mind as we look to grow and expand our production.
Read more about Nutrimaize and Professor Torbert's orange corn at HoosierAgToday.com. And with that, we close up the barn on another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can always download the podcast version. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com. Also, make sure to download our Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. It's a free download for iPhone and Android. For Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, Sabrina Halverson, and Hoosier Ag Today's chief meteorologist, Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.